Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Life seems to be not getting any slower. You agree? And we've just kind of presented a great ministry opportunity for everyone that no doubt would continue that process of making life fairly busy. But I want to be a guy who's busy for the right things. Eternal things. We talked about that a little bit last week. We talked about building treasures for ourselves, not on this earth, but in heaven. We talked about storing those treasures in heaven. And I kept thinking this week, what are those treasures? How can we be a part of this process? And I just kept thinking about it. It's people, it's children, it's adults, it's us. How can we build treasures in heaven? I think it can happen when we really wrestle with something called mission. And so a great follow-up to our discussion of last week is to look at this idea of mission. Soldiers depend on mission. Businesses post clever statements that they like to address mission with. Missionaries establish missions in foreign lands. Astronauts blast off, not for kicks, but because of a mission. We use this word in so many different ways. We have lots of different purposes for expressing it. But understanding a sense of mission for anybody can give you a couple of things. First of all, it gives you purpose and direction. Understanding mission gives you a sense of purpose and a sense of direction. It establishes clear objectives and goals. You know exactly what you're to do when you understand mission. It measures success and failure. Mission offers focus and alignment. You know what you need to be doing. It allows precision in going after your goals. It allows you to understand how to align yourself to those goals. That's called mission. And it creates unity and synchronization. When we understand mission as a worker in our workforce, then all of us in that business are on one page. When we understand mission in the church, when we clearly understand mission as a church, we're all on one page. We are synchronized. We're unified. We are under one banner. Mission is vital. And I'll say this, without mission, we cannot accomplish much. Without understanding mission, all we're doing is going through some kind of motions that somebody has set up for us at some point in our life. Without understanding mission, we are failing to do our best for the Lord. So I'm thinking about mission in terms of the church. And I thought about when this church was dreamed up of, over a dozen years ago, when this church was on the radar screen for Pastor Darrell and to bring his family here and for others at different churches, when this church began, it was birthed out of mission. It's grown because of mission. This church has been blessed because of clearly articulated mission. And you know what? It's going to survive because of mission. Without it, we're doomed. But with mission, we can see great things happen. So, I'm left with this question. What is our mission? What is our mission and what can we do to make it happen? Asking the question what our mission is maybe not the best way to say it. Our mission, it really comes back to you. Better said, the mission of this church is to empower you to accomplish your mission. that make sense? The mission of our church is not the starting spot here. It is not the foundation of what we're about. The mission of our church is to do the things and to create an atmosphere to empower you to do your mission, to accomplish your mission. Because when Jesus talked about mission, He didn't say, go out and create great churches. Jesus didn't say, go out and build a whole series of churches under one name and call it a denomination. Jesus didn't go out and say, when somebody gets off track in that denomination, create your own denomination. And so on, and so forth, and so on, and so forth. You see what I'm saying? Jesus told us something totally different about mission. And it starts with you and not this church. This church has been put here so that we can accomplish our missions together. So you're wondering right now, I have a mission? Nobody told me that, right? You're wondering that you have a specific purpose? God can use you to accomplish something for His good? I have a responsibility to accomplish something for God? Yes, you do. All of us do. There's not one of us here today, no matter where you are on the spiritual journey of things, not one of us here today is missionless. Oh, you might not know your mission, but that does not mean the mission doesn't exist. Alright? I want you to turn to someone near you or seated next to you. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't. Look them right in the eyes and say, I have a mission. Say that. Look at them. I have a mission. Now, turn and say it like you believe it this time, alright? Like you're excited to actually find out what it might be. Open your Bibles today. Open the Scriptures to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'll give you a chance to turn there and look that over. Here are where the red letters are starting to dwindle a little bit and the black letters are starting to take over. That's because the red letters are about ready to go back to heaven. Following me? I love the red letter Bibles because I see how Jesus is interacting, how the red is interacting with the black. And we need those red letters. And when we see red letters, we should pay attention. Jesus has already gone through 3 years of ministry at this point in time. Jesus has already begun to pave the way of helping His followers know about His mission. He's talked a lot about mission over these years, and He's even culminated His mission. Because Jesus has already suffered death on the cross. He's already laid in the grave for over 3 days. And He has been resurrected. And Jesus comes back to His disciples in this moment. And I want us just to look at what Jesus had to say about mission. Let's start right here in verse 16, Matthew chapter 28. If you'd like to read along and you didn't bring your scriptures today, you can turn over an insert that's in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screen right behind me. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now these scriptures, these words should not be taken lightly. As a matter of fact, many of you probably know them well. Many of you have probably memorized them or at least investigated them. I'd like to look at them kind of verse by verse for just a moment. Let's start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples. And I want to stop right there. 11 disciples. Do you remember how many disciples there were just a few weeks before this moment? 12. So let's think about this. It speaks volumes to me that says that these 11 men stayed together. But there were 12 for 3 years. There were 12 of them following every word that Jesus Christ gave them. There were 12 who were trying to understand. There were 12 who had a front row view of what Messiah was doing. But on this day, there's 11. On this day, one of their friends, one of their soulmates, one of their brothers is not there. Judas, after he betrayed Christ, after the veil of truth was unveiled to him, he took his own life. And these 11 were left with the pieces of that betrayal and his reaction to it. That's not something we can just skip over, friends. That's something we need to understand is going on in the lives of these 11. These 11 have gathered, but they're wounded. These 11 have gathered, but there is among them kind of a broken trust. There's this hesitancy that still exists. And these 11 still thought that Jesus Christ was going to establish the church and they were going to be first employees of His church. These 11 did not fully comprehend what was coming their way yet. And I can tell you that's true because look at verse 17. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Now I can tell you, I've read this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations a lot of times. But when this week I reread this and dove into this a little bit, I stopped with those three words. But some doubted. Did that cause you to go, huh? These 11, like I said, had this front row pass to see everything that Christ was about. When they see the resurrected Christ, they doubt? What's going on? Yeah. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was betrayed and when He was arrested? What did the 12 do? Pew. They got out of harm's way. They started going into survival mode and I'm going to save my fanny mode. Right? Some of them took off. I don't read that too many of them were even around when Jesus breathed His last breath. They were gone. They did not experience the burial of Christ. They did not even understand all that had happened in that moment. Oh, they saw the resurrected Christ, yeah. But they are still largely confused by what's taking place. They're in real time. We got the DVR version. We can go backwards and forwards. We can pause. But they're watching this unfold in real time. Now last Monday night, I got to watch Monday Night Football DVR version. I like it. You know, you hit your little button and they're ready to hike again. That's the way to watch football. I don't need commentators and commercials. That's our way, right? These guys are in real time. There is no fast forward. There is not even time for them to look back. Some doubted. Do you know what I love about this? There is room for doubt in God's kingdom. We will say that over and over and over and over again until we get it. There's room for doubt in God's kingdom. And sometimes we think God can only use us when we've figured it all out. No. There's 11 men who had a front row pass to all that was going on here, and they still doubted. I love 5th and 6th graders. It's on your mind, let's just get it out. That's not going to be a problem. They're doing what God's going to do in their life, in their way. Let's just focus a little bit on these 11 guys who are doubting. Does it remind you of anyone when you look at these guys? They come, they believe in Messiah, but they still have a lot of questions. Are we comfortable with them? Do you see yourself in them? I hope so, because I see myself in them. I see myself and wonder, could I have measured up? Could that have been me? Jesus then gives them these words. He starts off by saying, All authority has been given to me. This is a shift because Jesus was a man. Before His resurrection, He was limited completely into being man. He had said, here I am, all God, all man. But he had to eat like you have to eat. He had to drink like you had to drink. He had to sleep like you had to... He was man. He was limited. Now, in his resurrection, he says, all authority has been given to me. So now I get to give you a mission. I get to pass on what God has now given to me right on to you. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go. Do not stay here. Go and make disciples. Of who? Of our nation? Get Israel right? Figure out how to make these Jews believe in me? No. He said of all nations, of all people, of all color, of all backgrounds, everyone. This is no longer limited to our nation. This is no longer limited to our people. I'm telling you, you need to go out and make disciples of all nations. It took a long while for the disciples to figure out this statement. I think they were still working it out when they breathed their last breath as well. But Jesus clearly tells us that we are to go. That we are to go and to make disciples. Now understanding that when the disciples are hearing these words, they've already been discipled by a rabbi. Jesus had given them 3 solid years of His life to teach them. They had already been trained by their family to understand culturally speaking. These guys had the first 5 books of the Old Testament already locked squarely in their mind, word for word. These guys had been trained in the law and they understood it, and now they were given the law of Jesus Christ, a law of love. And He's telling them to go take that. He's also going to tell them that they need to receive one more thing before they're going to be empowered to do this mission. That they need to go and wait and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit comes, when that Spirit falls on them, that they will have everything they need to accomplish the mission that God has given them. The mission was not, guys, I want you to go out and build 11 churches. Guys, I want you to go out and establish 11 missions and do the work in the structure of churches. Churches are not God's primary tool in accomplishing this mission. You are. They were. And if those 11 guys did not get this right, we would not be here today. True fact. The mission of the church moving forward is dependent upon every one of us. It's dependent on us getting it right. Because if we don't get it right, then those guys won't get it right, and those guys won't get it right, and those guys won't get it right. The mission of the church is depending on you to accomplish your mission. To go. To go and to make disciples. You have been given a mission. It's not to come and find a church that does everything the way you like it done. Can I be just cut right to the bone here for a minute? The mission is not to dress a particular way and look good on a certain day of the week. The mission is not to come and give 10% of your money and be ticked off about doing it. The mission of the church is not to hear words from a pastor that make you feel better about your life. The mission of the church is not to have music at the volume that pleases you all the time. Now I've really cut down to the bone. The mission of the church isn't even about starting at 10:30 in 00 seconds. The mission of the church is to go and to make disciples. However, we need to make disciples. And whatever it takes to get that done. And I can't say it any less passionately than how I'm trying to right now. And I'm not here to offend you. I'm not here to make your issue and what you think we need to be doing as a church on the side. Those things are all important that I just mentioned. The sound, the what we present musically, how I present my words, how long our service goes, all those things are vital to the mission, but they are not the mission. What are we doing to accomplish the mission of being outside of these walls and reaching our friends, sharing God's love? What are we doing to accomplish what God is calling us to do? Have you thought about that for you? Have you considered how you can be a part of reaching others for Jesus Christ? Do you think you have the skills to do what it takes? You do. You have the skills because you have a heart, and that's all you need. Friends, we have an important job to do. And I've never been more scared to do it than I am on this stool today. I look at our world like you look at our world, and I wonder, what are you doing, Lord? Where are we headed? What days are we in? What's taking place? And I don't know. But I do know this. When we leave here today, we will have 2 hours less to accomplish our mission than we had when you started the process of driving here today. We will have less time to accomplish the same mission, and that is to tell people about Jesus Christ and to live a life in front of them that says, Jesus Christ is valuable to me. So, what's your mission? What is your mission? You know, scratch that. It's really not what is your mission. Let's be focused on who. Who is your mission? Who is your mission? Who has God put in front of you that you know needs Him? What are the faces of the individuals that you work with that need Jesus? Who are your neighbors? Who are your friends? Who are your families? Who are your children? Who is your mission? Who are the people we can reach out to? Jesus says, go and make disciples. It's about people. It's about treating them with respect. It's about loving them. Who is your mission? Answering the who gives us the laser focus we need to accomplish this. We don't sponsor Upward Basketball as a what. We believe in it because of the who. Who will come? Who will participate? We don't buy 12,000 pounds of food and pick a neighborhood to give it away to for a what. We buy 12,000 pounds of food and deliver it because of the who that will receive it. We don't put on a harvest party because of a what? Because churches are supposed to do harvest parties? We do it because of the who. That's why we can tolerate a little hay throughout the building and why we can tolerate hearing our children's classrooms through these walls. It's because our mission is not about the what, it's about the who the mission is for. We don't desire a solid youth ministry because we're supposed to have one. We want a solid youth ministry because of the who, because of our teens, because we want to instill God's love in them so that when at some point in their life the lights start turning on, they'll get it and they'll live it and they'll lead us. We don't desire a children's ministry because of a what. We desire a children's ministry because of the who, because of our children, for those young lives, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes so that they know God's love and they memorize God's Word. And I'm willing to put up with a little noise in our gym to accomplish it. I seriously am. It's about them and it's about those who will come in. This building was not built as a what. It was put here for the who. For the who will come, for the who will seek, and the who that will find. Club 56, harvest parties, Thanksgiving baskets, Sunday gatherings, Upward Basketball, cheerleading. Those are what's. The question is, who can we reach using those what's? Who can be impacted? Who can we reach when we utilize these things? They are not the mission, but they are absolutely vital in us. You and me accomplishing our mission. In your handout today, you have some lines. You have an area where I want you to consider your who's. I want you to think about the people in your life, the people whom God has brought in your way that you can reach. People that God has given you a mission to accomplish, a mission to reach out to. And I want you to consider names there, and I want you to think about how that can be accomplished. When I think about the who's and the names that you'll be writing down, my mind quickly went to the who's that are at your feet right now. You might not know this, but before this floor was rolled out and sealed down and the stripes were put down and ready for basketball and volleyball and everything else we do in here, before this gymnasium was finished and it was just a concrete slab, those who were a part of this church at that time came into this place and they wrote down names. So from every corner, under this platform and around and at your feet, there are names of people. The who's, the mission that we were built for, the mission that we were called here for. So the names that you're writing down, the names that God is leading you to in your mind, those names are no different than the names that we believed 7 years ago would come if we get serious about accomplishing our mission. Someday I want to peel this floor back and I want to go name by name and say, yep, not yet. Mm-mm. Yes. Yes. And I want a lot of yeses. I want us to get serious about our mission of the who's that God is calling us to reach. Some of us don't have to look very far because those who's live under our roof. Some of us don't need to really think really hard or try really hard because God will bring them to you now that you're aware that your mission exists. And you don't need to get stressed about this because all you need to do is be faithful and God will do the rest. The thing about God's mission is He didn't leave you stranded. He said these words, and surely I am with you at least for 10 years. I'm good to go if you guys can accomplish this mission in the next 200 years. No, friends. Surely I am with you to the very end of the age. He's with you, accomplishing your mission with you. Paul had some thoughts about mission as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says these words, and I share them with you today. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, because I am under Christ's law. You see the difference there. So as to win those not having the law, those who are completely lost from understanding anything, Paul wants to become like them to reach them. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. That is the focal point of this message. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, not that I may that I might share in its blessings. I might become all things by all possible means so that I might save some. When we talk about treasures in heaven, the treasures are the who. The treasures are the who. And I'm wondering, are you storing up treasures? Are you storing up treasures? Are you investing in those who need to know about Jesus Christ? Upward is one way. It's just one way. Providing desserts and financial support for a funeral dinner, that's one way. Serving at the harvest party, and we need your help at the harvest party. We need your candy donations for the harvest party. We want to represent the church well when we do the harvest party. It's going to need your help. It's vital for that to succeed. you think I'm kidding, just ask Kendra. It needs your help. But it's just a part of the mission. You can bring all the candy in you want, friends, but if you don't invite somebody to come, it's a wasted investment. Hear me? You can make sure the games are the best in the world, but if you don't see somebody that you need to reach out to and get them here as a part of your mission to reach them, then it's a waste of our time and energy. The mission is not what we do, it's who we do it for. And I want to be a church that loves the Lord our God so deeply with all of our heart and with all of our mind, with all of our strength, so in love with God that we cannot help but love our community as a natural reaction to our love to Him. That is mission. When we love our God that passionately, it will spill out of us onto our community, onto our friends, and we can accomplish the mission of reaching them for His sake. The question is, are you interested in accomplishing your mission? Are you interested in loving God, allowing that to spill out over into our friends and family and neighbors and our co-workers who desperately need Him? I want to love our community so deeply, so passionately, so extravagantly, that they will stop and say, "Why? Why are you doing that?" And we'll get to say, "Because God loves you." Let's pray. Father God, the giver of all good things, the giver of life, the giver of breath, Father, today, fill us with Your love so that we may see our mission and go out and accomplish it. And I pray, God, that as we accomplish our mission, that our church will be ready and primed to go out and make a difference, that we will help people, help me, help our friends accomplish their mission. It starts with Your love. It starts with You. It's all about You. And I pray, God, that You would fill us to accomplish all that You're laying on our heart to do. In the powerful, loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.